here's a story from The World.
A court in Beijing has dismissed a high-profile case of sexual harassment. A former television intern, Zhou Xiaoxian, known by her nickname Xianza, sued her co-worker, a television star. She said he assaulted her in a dressing room 4 years ago. But the court has ruled against Xianza, a blow for China's Me Too movement, one that's been both growing among young people in China and slapped down by the Chinese government. Joining us now to discuss all of this is Leita Hong Fincher. She's the author of a book about feminism in China called Betraying Big Brother. Leita, the Beijing court ruled that Xianza did not produce sufficient evidence in her harassment case. What do you make of that ruling?
Well, I'm not really surprised by the ruling at all. I think a lot of people are not surprised. This was never really about winning or losing a lawsuit. It was always about putting up a fight. And China doesn't truly have rule of law. And also Xianza, her own social media account on Weibo has been blocked in an ongoing crackdown on feminism. So I see this result as, I mean, it's sad, but it doesn't mean the end of the Me Too movement in China.
We're talking about this case and talking to you about it, but inside of China, did this case get much attention?
Well, it didn't get a lot of attention from the state media. Where it got a lot of traction was in the women's and feminist community through social media like Weibo and WeChat. The case has been widely watched outside China more than on the inside. You have to understand that China doesn't have true internet freedom and it doesn't have press freedom. So the Chinese government's been cracking down a lot on feminist social media accounts recently, and the feminist movement is very beleaguered. So Xianza's case has sort of galvanized the feminist community and brought in more supporters to an ongoing movement that's been going on for quite a few years, and I would expect it to continue even in the face of this strong crackdown.
Now, the accused in this case is a well-known TV personality on state-run TV. How do you think that affected the way the Chinese media handled the story?
Well, I think that's incredibly important because the host was working for state television. If you look at another recent high-profile case, there was a woman who accused a very famous pop star named Chris Wu with rape. He's actually been arrested, and that was actually covered by Chinese state media, but he didn't represent the government.
You mentioned Chris Wu and that he's been charged. What history is there to the success of sexual harassment lawsuits?
The courts have never been the place to really achieve justice in China. The Chinese government, ever since 2015, they jailed five feminist activists who were planning to hand out stickers about sexual harassment on subways and buses. And just for that alone, they were jailed. And that kind of began this feminist movement that has sort of been growing in spite of enormous obstacles. From a legal perspective, this is an important case, but the legal arena is not where I see the greatest significance of the Me Too movement in China. And in fact, if you look at Me Too globally, you're not seeing major legal breakthroughs. It's primarily a social movement. And it's the same kind of thing in China, but with far, far greater obstacles because so many feminist voices are being silenced on social media. There's a lot of persecution of the women who speak out about gender discrimination or sexual harassment. What's fascinating about the case of China is that this feminist movement is so resilient and it hasn't been crushed in spite of the fact that the government clearly sees feminism as a threat.
You describe it as a social movement in China. What do you mean by that? How does it express itself?
It started out as being a small number of feminist activists who were doing what they called performance art protests in the streets. And then when five of those activists were jailed in 2015, there wasn't much freedom anymore for in-the-street style protests. So they took their activism more to social media. So there was much more of a groundswell of new support for feminism, feminist topics, feminist discussions online. But over the last couple of years, there's been an increasing crackdown on online expression of feminist content. And so a lot of the discussions have had to move increasingly underground. But the discussions continue to percolate. So I don't see an end to that development. I think we're going to continue to see more cases in the future, even though overall the political environment is very grim for any kind of social movement.
Is the spirit of the feminist movement in China, is it shared by lots of people and it's simply the government that is kind of cracking down? Or is it a kind of movement that is meeting resistance among Chinese at large?
There is definitely a strong patriarchal tradition in China. But what you're seeing today in the last several years in particular is a really strong, aggressive crackdown coming from the Chinese government. And from the ground up, there's actually a lot of increased rights consciousness that is continuing to rise and spread, particularly among college-educated women in China. And that includes young women who leave China to go and study or work abroad, say in the United States. So now there's a kind of a growing feminist diaspora from China. And some of the feminist activists who've left China continue to communicate with their friends in China. And so that's really helped to kind of keep the movement going. So I think that this is a phenomenon that is going to continue to grow in strength.
Leyte Hong Fincher is the author of Betraying Big Brother, about feminism in China. She's been speaking to us from New York. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
From PRX.